Welcome to the Missio Dei podcast. Missio Dei is a family of Jesus, joining God as he makes all things new in Chicago. Check us out online at missiodeichicago.com.
Last week, while many of you were doing other things, I noticed, but I hope you all had fun. It was a nice weekend, but a lot of you were not here. If you missed it, I actually do encourage you to go back and have a listen because we sort of set up this series that we're going to be in for this fall in this season that we're in together. And the conversation that we're having is rooted around something that we've been talking about a bit on and off this year. So some of this language might be a little bit familiar. It's based on this radical promise that just blows my mind that we have as Christ followers. And we see it in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And here's what's written. This is written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth and still true for us today. All of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into that same image, meaning the very likeness of Jesus Christ himself, who he is, how he acts, the kingdom he represents. We are being transformed into that image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. You guys, that's really a huge promise. If you just sit in that for a minute, which we're going to be doing, we're going to be sitting in this promise a lot this fall. It's saying that when you follow Christ and the Spirit has come to be with you, you are going to enter into a life of constant transformation more and more into the image of Christ. Constant spiritual transformation. I feel like that is a really, really big deal. And listen to this. It's the Holy Spirit who's going to be doing that work in us. What's our role? I feel like our role is to be more expectant, actually expectant that this transformation is going to be taking place in our lives. We want to be people fostering an environment in our lives, both individually and collectively as a community, that keeps us kind of ripe for that process to be able to take place. We want to be in tune to the voice of God. We want to be willing to respond to nudges from the Holy Spirit. We want to be spending time with Jesus in ways that shape and transform us. We want to set ourselves up to be ripe, to receive this promise that Scripture says is a gift to be given to us freely. Because our transformation more and more into the image of Christ, it's not just about us. It's not a self-help talk. While, yes, it is that is, we are going to be made more and more matured throughout our life, yes, but it's not just about us. We talk around here about how we want to be joining God in the renewal of all things. When we're talking about that, we're saying like we believe that we are participants in what it is that God is doing. And it might be through us that somebody else can experience the love of God, the God's love reflected through our actions, through our words, through our responses in heated situations. They may actually experience the love of God through us. So this isn't even just about us. It's really a big deal that we are being transformed in that one degree of glory for the rest of our lives. It's a beautiful promise. Did you guys know that the term Christian was originally meant to be a knock? It means literally little Christs, as in people in the early church or around the early church were looking at these people who were gathered and were following the way of Jesus. And they're like, what is up? It's like they're a bunch of little Christs, Christians. And the people who were following Jesus were like, yeah, that's exactly right. That's what we want people to take notice of. I think it's really funny that it was meant originally to be, look at those little Christs. Yeah, I'm inspired by that. I want to be that. Now listen, not all Christians are walking around like little Christs. That is true. That might be a story for another day. We can talk about that another time. But you and I, who are following Jesus, can decide how we want to be walking around like little Christs in our world, in our little pockets of the city that we live in. And if we're being transformed from one degree of glory to another to be like little Christs, people around us naturally will be experiencing things through us, like things like radical love, a sense of belonging, no matter what their past has included, a sense of hope towards a renewal of all things, radical hospitality, radical renewing justice acts, things that are trying to get the world back to the shalom that God originally intended. People will be experiencing things like that by experiencing us, hopefully, if we are really being little Christs in our world. So I think that's an exciting vision, and I want to be intentional with that call of how I want to be that in my world. So to that end, we are going to be talking about what we've been calling our formation framework. And what this is sort of an idea of how, the question we were asking is, how do we help to foster this transformation that God has already promised to bring, and the work will happen through the Holy Spirit, but how can we foster that environment that is conducive, did I say that right, to what the Holy Spirit wants to do? So we believe that God does transform us inwardly through prayer and scripture, and outwardly towards justice and hospitality. So what we want to be doing is longing for this actual transformation, expectant of what the Holy Spirit will be doing. So we asked ourselves, well, what can we do as a church community to engage or know where to put our focus in this season? And this was the outcome of that conversation. So we have this sense of new season. We've got this crisp air that's so beautiful and fresh and cool. I used my heat seater for the first time in my car this morning. It was like, it's been so, and I was like, oh, it's so great. What a fun invention. Like, first time I needed it, that was like my mark of fall. I was excited. So we have this sense of transition we talked about last week. A lot of us are having other huge life transitions that are on the cusp for us right now as the seasons change. And so sometimes when our life is in a transition or a season change, we feel like it, sometimes we're open to trying something new. We'd like that sense of fresh, or we would never put up with all four seasons unless we dig the change of seasons, right? And so we were thinking, let's talk about some things that you might be open to shift an existing pattern in your life, to try something new. So today, given our framework formation language, I'm just going to be upfront with you guys. I am boldly going to be encouraging you to deepen your engagement with Scripture in your personal lives. I want you to just be open to thinking what it might mean for you to engage deeper in your engagement with the Word of God. I'm just going to boldly ask you to do it. So just keep your mind and heart open. I have some really, really good points to convince you that this will be a really fun thing to do in this fall season, okay? So, speaking of those changing seasons that we talked about from last week, the passage that Kristen read for us this morning is one that God has just really been speaking to me through for the last maybe month or so, really working on me in sweet ways. And we're going to skip to verse 2 here. So I'm starting in Psalm 1, verse 2. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. I really am drawn to this image of being deeply rooted by streams of living water. That living water imagery is throughout Scripture, and it's so beautiful to me. I want to be deeply rooted by streams of living water, and that whatever changing season is going on around us, that we are continuously yielding fruit in each season. Our leaves do not wither, right? I love this image, this fruit-bearing tree of continuously prospering and yielding good fruit. I love this. This passage is the starting place of the whole book of Psalms, which is like poetry and song lyrics. And who does the psalmist start out this whole book saying? Like, who is like this, able to bear fruit in each season? It's the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on it day and night. Now, in this context, the law doesn't just refer to the section of Scripture, which there is a section in here that we call the law that has a lot to do with rules and things, but it's talking beyond that. It includes that part of the Old Testament, but really what it's referring to is all of God's Word, all of the Word of God, it's meant to, the whole part of Scripture that's meant to shape the people of God to reflect God to the world around us, right? It's how we know what God's character and how we can reflect his righteousness, his justice, his mercy, his wisdom, all of it, right? How do we know it? So we can reflect it. This is all of the law. I actually encourage you this week, here's a passage to dive into, okay? It's right off the deep end. Psalm 119. It's this wild psalm. It's so long, you guys. It's 176 verses, but it's this really cool psalm, and I encourage you to read it. It's an outpouring of love and adoration for the entire Word of God. And it uses a whole bunch of synonyms for what we would call scripture or the Bible, right? It uses a whole bunch of synonyms. It uses laws, statutes, precepts, commands, decrees. It says God's word, God's ways, God's promise, all of it. It's an entire 176 verses that basically says, God, this is your plan and I love it. I am in. That's what Psalm 119 is in a summary. It's just pouring out. And it's this really, really cool, it's really cool. I'm going to grab just a couple verses. It's saying things like this. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light to my path. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They're the joy of my heart. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. And I want you, when you're reading it, to imagine this, because initially, the way that this psalm would be engaged with, it is 22 sets of 8 verses, and it's acrostic poem. Each one of those sets, it would be like if in the Hebrew, it starts with a different letter of the alphabet. Like if in English, everything would be like first a bunch of A's and then B's and then C's so that you could memorize it and keep track of where you were. The goal was 176 memorized verses pouring out praise for God's word, for meditating on it, learning it, loving it. Think about the people who were doing this and memorizing it. And the writer was thinking, like, I want you to just have it so deep in you that you can say it by heart, this love of all of this, because the people who were doing that wanted to be seeped in scripture, because the word of God shapes us. It's meant to shape us. And it's way more than a book of rules, right? When we know scripture, it's revealing to us God's character. Scripture reveals to us God's promises. Scripture reveals to us God's plans, God's purposes. Scripture tells us the story that we are a part of. When we're reading it, we read about God creating, God leading the people, God interacting with different people, God calling back people when they've wandered. And then in this amazing part in this story, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. This part is really important. Jesus teaches his disciples, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. That's in John 14:9. Paul says Jesus is the image of the invisible God, and that in Christ all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Those are two different verses in Colossians 1, verses 15 and 19. The author of the book of Hebrews, who we don't actually know who the author is, but it's really poetic, beautiful language. And the author says, in the past, God spoke to us through prophets, to our ancestors in different ways, which we see throughout the Old Testament. But now he's spoken to us through the Son, and that the Son is the light of God's glory and the imprint of God's being. We have access to the Son, where the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Jesus is the fullness of God's revelation. No qualifications, nothing concealed. He is the way that God is encountered and known. Why am I bringing this part up? Because we want to know the fullness of God's character, promises, plans, and purpose. We want to know all about that. And in Christ, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So the word of God took on flesh and lived among us. And Jesus becomes now the interpretive key to which we can engage with the whole of scripture. And we want to know Jesus from our Bibles, because we're going to know God more and more. I love how Paul writes this to the Colossians church. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let this word dwell in you richly. Bring it in, the word of Christ, to seep in you, to be rich and deeply in you. Make it such a part of you that you could say it dwells in you richly, right? There's this cool version of the Bible. If you use an app or something, I encourage you to like toggle to it. It's a little disruptive for me to read as my regular Bible, but it's the amped version. Have you guys seen it? And it explains some things parenthetically to give you deeper understanding of certain words. Anyway, this is the amped version. Let the spoken word of Christ, which we have access to right here, we have those spoken words. Let the word of Christ have its home within you, dwelling in your heart and mind, permeating every aspect of your being as you teach and admonish and train one another. That's beautiful, deep, rich language that we're invited into to engage with Scripture that way. So habits of engaging with Scripture aren't just a good spiritual discipline for followers of Jesus. Yes, it is that, but sometimes it can feel a little like, oh, it's a box that I have to like check off supposedly. And okay, here's the deal. If it starts out that way, that's okay too. If it's a box that you're just deciding to check off, like I believe that God will honor that faithful obedience, that you will do a thing that you don't always delight in. And I believe that in time, it will become so much more. Habits have a way of doing that. So even if it starts that way, that's okay. Be obedient. But I know that as a discipline, as a way of life, of engaging with this holy scripture, if we ask God when we open it up, like, Holy Spirit, like, just meet me here. Meet me in these pages, speak to me and form me in some way. That becomes a sacred meeting space with you and with God. It's a beautiful space that you will share with your triune God. It's really, even if it starts out of just rote obedience, like that's okay. Start. The idea is to start somewhere, right? Sure, some days are quieter than other days, but you're being shaped by Scripture. Of course you are, you guys. You're being shaped by whatever you take in. I'm being shaped by whatever I choose to take in. Side note, part of the reason that I can't watch horror movies because they come back into my dreams at night. But you maybe can. I don't know. We're being shaped. I have to watch what I'm putting in because it's going to come out sideways somewhere. If you're being shaped by whatever content, think of your content over the last 24 or 48 hours. It's shaping you. Don't you want to be shaped by something really positive as well? Wouldn't it be really great to add some of your shaping to be the word of God? All of our content shapes us. Will we hold space to faithfully try taking in the very word of God that is wanting to dwell in us richly? Now, I obviously cannot unpack all of Scripture in one morning, but my hope today is to just encourage you to try opening your Bibles in some way or audio. You can just listen. There's apps for that. You can just listen if you're not a reader, but open your Bibles in some way and engage. And I have two thoughts to share with you to this end, and then today's going to look a little bit different and how we end. I'm just going to end really practically with some resources. But I have two thoughts to share with you and to hopefully inspire you to give something a try. Wherever you are, just one degree of glory step to try something deeper, okay? When I think about this, I was talking about this with Gigi briefly, that book, Atomic Habits. There's like really good wisdom in how habits can be formed in positive ways that really do impact our life. And so I want you to take all that, even if you haven't read the book, like you know the concept probably, just try it with something that actually God has told you will transform you. It's like such a positive way. So, okay, two thoughts and then really practical because the Bible can be confusing. So my first thought to share, hopefully incredibly convincing stuff here, guys. All right. First one. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We talked about this briefly last week. The things we do with our bodies, our actions, our decisions, our disciplines, where we put our yeses and our noes, our embodied decisions, they make our lives worship to God. right? So it's saying our whole self becomes worship to God. Our yes to meeting God in holy scriptures is pleasing to God. And what we do with our mind shapes our mind. This is Paul's writing to the church in Rome. This is from the beginning of chapter 12. And I just want this to really, I want you to know that this transformation of your mind is going to be shaped by something. We do not want to be conformed or malformed by patterns of the world. Why, what's coming at us is just going to shape us. So we have to intentionally choose what we want to shape us. So if we're just letting whatever's coming at us to be the stuff that shapes us, we're not actively taking a role in our own formation, right? So what I'm thinking that this is saying to us, we want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and being seeped in scripture does impact and renew our minds. Now, it's one of the ways that God literally can shape our thought patterns. No joke. Scripture says this in a lot of different ways in different places, but I want you to know science now backs it up. Scripture already wrote it. Science is in agreement. These two things don't have to be contrary to one another. Science backs up, for example, that practicing habits of gratitude, actively practicing gratitude is a positive atomic habit, right? That actually changes the way that signals move through your brain. That's wild. That's really cool. Scripture already told us that. Science now affirms it. Where you put your thoughts actually reshapes patterns in your brain. That's really cool. Paul wrote about it here to the church in Rome. He wrote about it in Philippians 4. The people memorizing Psalm 119, they knew it somewhere deep in their souls without the science yet. They wanted their minds to be renewed and shaped by the word of God. That's beautiful. Here's what I want to say about this active choice in how we engage with what is shaping and renewing our minds. To be shaped by the word of God, it's got to be in there somewhere. Your mind needs the food to be shaped by that particular food, right? Recently, I'll give you an example, okay? I recently woke up at 3 a.m. Anyone else do that 3 a.m. shift? And the thing that quickly happens is that my mind is like, oh, we're awake. We should think about all the things that we should be worrying about right now that we can't do anything about right now, but let's think it all through, including the worst case scenario. So it's my favorite thing to be thinking about. So at 3 a.m. recently, when I woke up and my mind started to get going, my body was like, it is not time to wake up. Yes, I talked to my own brain. I know that sounds weird, but I was like, listen, you gotta slow down. Be still. I want to go back to sleep. And my brain was like, no, I'm busy. And so I was just like, no, you have to be peaceful. You have to be peaceful. And then I started to think, peace I give you. My peace I leave you. I don't give that like the world gives it. I give it differently. Okay? That's not a direct quote. That's for sure a paraphrase. I didn't have all the words right, but that's from John 14. It's in there somewhere. And so it was able to come back out, and I'd literally just breathed that pattern. I was like, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I don't give it like the world gives it, my peace I give you. And then I also started to think about that one that says, God will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is steadfast. And I couldn't remember the rest of the verse, but it's because our minds are set on you or something. Anyway, here's the point. I didn't need to know where it was in the Bible. I didn't even need to say it exactly right. It actually shaped me enough that I could breathe words, life-giving peace, and my brain could stay there. I fell back asleep, and I didn't wake up until like 8 o'clock or something delightful like that. It was lovely. My point is, it has to be in there somewhere to shape you in the real moments when it matters. It has to be in there. Even if you can't remember its address, as my mom says. If we can't remember where it is, it's okay. You've got it in there somewhere. Our thought patterns will be shaped when we're feeding our minds this scripture. So the second point that I want to make to point out to you, which is related to this one, by chance, it is that same passage that I just like half quoted from the 3 a.m. moment, but here it is in its full context. Jesus says this. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Again, teaching these words. It would be the Psalm 19 would use the God's precepts, commands, laws, ways, promises, all of those words, right? So Jesus is saying, listen to these teachings. This is the character of God. This is the will of God. Follow this plan that we have for you. Okay, carrying on in verse 25. All of this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So check this out. We follow the word of God, the word of Christ that dwells in us richly, right? We're following that teaching, the full expression of God's self as is seen in Christ Jesus, the full plans and purposes on display. We're following that, and we have this written teaching, by the way, in our Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the first four books of the New Testament, and they're people just writing about all the things that Jesus did and said during his time on earth. Okay, so we have these written teachings, and after Jesus ascended to heaven, just as promised, the Holy Spirit came to all who believed in Jesus and were following the way of Jesus. Still to this day, that's true. And now that Holy Spirit of God will teach us and will remind us of all that Christ has done and said. To be reminded suggests that we've put it in there in the first place. You have to be reminded of something that you somewhere have access to. It's hard to be reminded of that which we've never learned. So that's why we talk an awful lot about teaching, typically just teaching straight from the scriptures. We want to put it in there so it can dwell in us richly, and the Holy Spirit can remind us of all that Jesus said. So can the Spirit speak to us beyond the words of Scripture? Yes, of course. And we hope to be having a really good conversation soon about hearing the word of God, coming to know the voice of God. Yes, that can happen. But historically and universally, I would say that Scripture remains a very powerful and proven way that God meets us and shapes us, where we learn to know God's voice, where we just become shaped to be more and more like Christ and to be transformed from one degree of glory to another. Scripture remains a powerful avenue that is in our hands, a gift for us. So I admit to you, our tone this morning, if you are visiting, this is a little different tone than usual. I was just a little less of a reflection or a cultural context of a passage of Scripture, which we often are doing. And so it feels a little less like reflective and a little more like an invitation. I was confessing in the upper room during the prayer time. I feel a little sales pitchy. It feels a little weird, but that's not my goal. And I hope that you hear what my heart is that you can hear through my scattered thoughts to have a nugget of encouragement, drawing you in to this word of God that is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, that the word of God, when it goes out into your lives, will never come back void. These are promises in Scripture. I don't remember either of their addresses, but it's in there. And that's what we want, right? We want to know these promises. And so my goal here is to just have you open your heart to see if God might be nudging you to engage in a way that could be powerfully shaping. Now, this is the part that's really weird and not like we usually do. Because this book can get a little hard to understand, it's ancient, you guys. The contexts are so different than our own. I want to actually leave us today with a couple of resources that might be really helpful if you are deciding to pick it up. Number one, if you don't have a Bible, please come talk to me. There are a lot of different formats, different translations, all this. We'd love to help you find the right one. I'd love to get you one, like whatever. If you don't have one, let's just talk and take care of that part right off the bat. So email me, come talk to me, whatever. One of the things that we're going to be doing to help us demystify holy ancient texts is we're going to be bringing a formation series right back into our Sunday morning liturgy. We did this a couple years ago. We did a formation on scripture. We're going to do just 5 minutes for the next handful of Sundays where we back way up and ask some big questions of, like, what is up with this book? And we're going to talk about it. And our goal in those five-minute formation series is to just make this feel a little more accessible. Like, just answer some of those questions. Like, wait, what's in here? Who decided? What do you mean a seven-headed beast? What are we talking about? So we're just going to ask some of those questions, hopefully to make things, accessibility is our goal. But I have a couple of resources. This is weirdly practical. I even feel weird ending a sermon on this, but whatever. I really would recommend that help us in our engagement with the Bible. The first one, the Bible Project, I can't say enough. You guys, they're amazing. It is a free resource. You can use their app or you can just Google the Bible Project. Put in a theme. I often watch their summaries of their books of the Bible when I'm doing study in anything. It gives you like the overarching before you read the text. Bible Project is a fantastic resource for engaging with the Bible and understanding what's going on. Definitely encourage you to read their summaries of books. Okay, that's a great one. Another one that I want to recommend is this big beast, the Bible Recap. This is for those of you who are like really systematized and like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to like read the whole Bible. And then you get a little ways in, you're like, this just got real weird. The Bible Recap goes through the entire Bible and just gives you a little, hey, here's what's up and what you should think about in really daily dose kind of way. So it's really helpful if you're one of those, I'm going to do the whole thing, and you want a guide to be with you. I think it's really helpful. The other one I would say that you all should download if you don't have it already is the YouVersion Bible app. You can toggle among different translations. It can, I do not have many push notifications allowed on my phone. The Bible app is one of them that I allow. It will give you daily verses, and I just find that to be really like grounding. And then they also have a ton of devotionals that can take you through different books of the Bible if you need, like, can someone come along with me? It's a great app, both for different Bible versions and for the devotionals. The Bible Unwrapped, this is a side companion. This is not a replacement for a Bible, but it is a really accessible look at some things that are strange or different in different kinds of literature that we find in the Bible. I just think it's a really great resource. And so if you're trying to read the Bible and you're like, I'm not so sure, side help. I like the Bible Unwrapped. And then lastly, I would say Lectio 365 is a devotional that I use. It's online, and every day you'll get in scripture and then have some thoughts and reflections. So if you need something to help you be a little systematized in this, these are some of the resources that I would recommend. And then lastly, I would love to just talk to you about different ways that might work for you if daily habits aren't usually your thing. So that was a weird way to end a sermon. Let's go back to what we were saying before. You guys, the Word of God is a gift to us. It's meant to shape us to know God better. We meet God in many ways, and one of the most powerful ways is through Scripture. So I invite you to consider how you might engage with this transformational Word of God in ways that truly can change our lives. So with that, we're going to pray, and then we're going to transition to our own reflection. So Jesus, we love you, and we trust you, and we trust that you want us to be shaped by the words that you have spoken and that you speak to us still. We want to grow to hear your voice in prayerful conversations and to be in that kind of conversational relationship with you. Yes, but we also trust that you meet us and shape us and woo us with your love through the holy words of scripture that are already here in front of us. So draw us deeper into you. May we be like trees whose roots are near your living water, and every season we can bear the fruit of that season without our leaves withering at all. God, be that source of renewal and strength and transformation in our lives. We trust you and ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We'd love to keep the conversation going. Find a weekly gathering or gospel community in a neighborhood near you. To find out more, check us out online at missiodechicago.com.